Arizona News Radio, Yuma County Sheriff's Office says a domestic violence incident turned deadly.
It does appear that the male subject shot and killed the female, adult female, and then turned the gun on himself.
A car rear-ended by a pickup truck at a Tempe intersection hits three people crossing the street.
We had a pickup truck that ran into the back of another passenger car that was stopping for pedestrians that were crossing the street. And during that time, as they were crossing the street, they were struck.
A 24-year-old woman from Oklahoma traveling with her two kids arrested for smuggling marijuana and heroin at Lukeville.
There are times where, you know, juveniles are with folks who are attempting to smuggle contraband into the country.
State Corporation Commissioner Paul Newman at the Democratic Convention waiting to hear from Bill Clinton tonight.
He adds that gravitas, not that Obama needs it, to the centrist folks who are really making the bets in this election.
Short Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of York Haven Extravic is a service of McDonald's. Look for a wreck eastbound Loop 202 just east of McClintock. Also another wreck westbound Loop 202 east of Cooper. We still have that collision northbound State Route 51 north of Northern. We have an accident Van Buren Street at 5th Street downtown involving a motorcycle. The temps are scorching, Phoenix, but so is this deal. Right now at McDonald's, get any size soft drink or sweet tea for just a buck. Prices and participation may vary. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Here's your Wednesday forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Well, our monsoon now in high gear. Scattered showers and thunderstorms just about anywhere, anytime around our southern and central deserts. Right on throughout the weekend and even into next week. With the cloud cover and humidity, daytime highs near 100. Jim Howell, Linda Pettitalk, 1100 KFNX.
Thanks, Jim. Currently here in Midtown, we're 99 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
I'm Professor Burke from the University of Farmers, and this is a pop quiz. What's the best way to find out what your auto policy covers? A, smash your car up and see how much your insurance pays? Or B, talk to a farmer's agent and see if you have the coverage you want? The answer is B. Please don't attempt A. That's just crazy town.
If you want answers about auto insurance, you want a farmer's agent. We are insurance.
We are farmers. Bum, ba, dum, bum, 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 bum.
To speak with a farmer's agent in your community, call 888-96-FARMERS.
Clay Walker in concert Saturday, September 15th at the Riverside Resort in Laughlin, Nevada. From Clay's first hit, What's It to You, to his latest album, She Won't Be Lonely Long. Room and show packages to see Clay Walker at the Riverside Resort start at only $107. Call 1-800-227-3849. That's 1-800-227-3849. Or go online to riversideresort.com.
Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
This is Legalese, where the law is always on your side. Now introducing your host, a longtime veteran of the courts, Dennis Willinchek.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chet, and always a pleasure to see you every Wednesday. And we're here on Legalese every Wednesday from 4 to 5 on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX. This is Dennis Willinchek with Jack Willinchek, and we're here today honored to speak with our Attorney General, Tom Horn, on Legalese. What could be more fitting than having the Attorney General on? Tom, as most of you, I hope, know, is a great guy individually as well as professionally. And he has been on the show before, and he's been good enough to grace us and the public with speaking with people. And you can call up if you want at 277-KFNX. That's 277-5369 if you have any questions for Tom. I generally don't take calls, but we're certainly happy to take them today if you want to talk to your attorney general about anything. Otherwise, you can sit back and listen to, I hope, a good conversation. Tom, welcome to the studio.
It's great to be with you, Dennis, and this is a good day to have me on because I just found out an hour ago that we won a big case in federal district court today.
Yeah, and I want to get into that. I just want to tell the public a little bit about you. They probably do know, but Tom was elected attorney general in 2010, and prior to that, he has served as Arizona State Superintendent of Public Instruction. He was a member of the Arizona Legislature, serving as a member of the House Judiciary Committee. In addition to public service, Tom was an attorney in private practice for many, many years, and during that time also served as a Special Assistant Attorney General, a Superior Court Judge Pro Tem, and a Judge Pro Tem on the Court of Appeals, and is the author of a legal text published by the State Bar of Arizona on construction law. Tom received his undergraduate degree, magna cum laude, from Harvard College, his JD with honors from Harvard Law School. Apparently, Harvard doesn't have that high standards, I guess. No, just joking. Anyway, great law school, great school, and really impressive background. So, Tom, having said that, now, tell us about your great victory today.
Well, the National Labor Relations Board, NLRB, brought an action against us because Arizona passed a law that said that if you were a worker, you had a right to a secret ballot in choosing union representatives. Four states passed similar laws. The federal government threatened all four states that if they didn't drop the laws, they would bring a lawsuit.
Right.
All four states refused to be intimidated and stood up to them. They ended up suing only Arizona, so we carried the ball for the whole country on this vital, fundamental right.
Yeah, let's for our audience, listening audience, because many of them are in and out of cars, and so
right.
Let's be clear now. What exactly? Again, give it to me again.
It's the right. The Arizona law gives workers a right to a secret ballot in
right.
choosing whether a union will represent them or not.
And the federal government doesn't like that.
Apparently. No, the Obama administration wants to have card check, which would mean that you could be intimidated by
yeah.
people coming saying, you know, the union
sure.
boss comes and says, sign this card, and he knows if you signed it or not. And what our voters said is, in a referendum, no, you should have a right to a secret ballot. The Obama.
What could be – excuse me for interrupting you, but I mean, just listening to this, what could be more fundamental – in anyone's mind, in fairness, than having the right to secretly vote.
Well, Dennis, your listeners could consider what if they were told they couldn't have a secret ballot when
yeah.
they go to vote for their public officials, that somebody would come with a card check and say, you have to sign this thing to elect the guy I want you to elect. Yeah. They would feel their rights were violated, and I think workers feel their rights are violated if they can't have a secret ballot in choosing union representation.
Right.
And to my amazement, the Obama administration sued us, saying you can't guarantee people's right to a secret ballot. We have the right through the NLRB to impose card check instead, which Congress would not pass.
Right.
And so since they sued only Arizona, we carried the ball for the whole country on
now,
this
why
issue.
Why didn't they sue the other states?
They decided to sue just one state, and they chose us.
I wonder why.
well, it could be they don't like us. and today we won summary judgment in that case.
Yeah, that's in district court.
Yeah, federal district court. It's on a facial challenge to our law. They could still bring an as-applied challenge if something happens
right.
in an actual union election. But as far as a facial challenge goes, which is what they brought, we were granted summary judgment. So we have defeated the Obama administration in a very important, fundamental human right to have a secret ballot rather than have somebody come
and
intimidate
story,
you with card
check. Yeah, I mean, listening to this, that story doesn't get out, does it? I mean, what could be, as I said, more fundamental, more American,
right.
or un-American, I should point out, than the government trying to compel someone to reveal, however they do, how you're going to vote.
Yeah.
I can't even think of anything more ridiculous, can you? I mean, seriously, that's fundamental stuff.
I think it's fundamental. I was shocked that they
yeah.
you know, when they threatened us, I was shocked. I thought, are they really want to admit in public that they don't think people should have a right to a secret ballot?
Yeah, that's scary stuff, really. So congratulations on that. And
thank
hopefully
you.
We'll see that in the news, in the paper or whatever.
It's newsworthy.
Yeah. Well,
maybe hopefully national news.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
Now, are they going to appeal it probably?
I'm sure they will.
Yeah, they'll appeal it. Yeah. And, of course, they got the Ninth Circuit on their side probably. So.
Well, that could be one reason why they brought it against
yeah.
Arizona to get the Ninth Circuit, because that's
yeah.
the most liberal circuit in the country, and it's the most – overruled circuit in the country.
Yeah.
So if the Ninth Circuit goes the other way, we can go to the U.S. Supreme Court, which is a much more conservative panel than the Ninth Circuit.
Speaking of which, I know you were mentioning before we went on the air something else I want our listeners to hear, and that is that you, as the Attorney General, actually do go to court, personally go to court. You have gone to court. You were there on all of the big issues that we can recount that have hit Arizona in the last couple of years, I know. And particularly, you're going to be in front of the Supreme Court, too, shortly. Is that right?
Yeah, October 9th. This is a kind of a change of philosophy I brought to the Attorney General's office. Before I was elected Attorney General, I'd heard about government agencies being pushed into settlements that they didn't want to really do or consent judgments because there weren't enough experienced lawyers to actually fight the case.
Right.
Although there are a number of very good lawyers there, and I brought in experienced lawyers as well. And I've been going to court myself to send the message to our lawyers that we're hungry to go to court. We're not going to push anybody into a settlement they don't want to do or
yeah.
a consent judgment. We're going to go to court and fight for the people of Arizona, and I'm doing it myself. I've been in federal district court, the Ninth Circuit, the Arizona Supreme Court, and now I'm going to the United States Supreme Court.
Well, I mean, I just have to take a minute and say that I think that's an incredible point to make here. I don't think our former attorney general did anything close to that. It was always a disappointment to me because you are elected as the attorney general. The fact that you have associates working for you, like many of us do, is one thing. But ultimately, the buck stops with you. You are the guy that we elected. And we elected you to be the attorney general, as far as I'm concerned, and to go to court. So, honestly, to me, that's a big point in your
favor. Well, I was a courtroom lawyer for 30 years. So, you know, a lot of times attorney generals are basically politicians. But I was a real lawyer for many years. So it's a pleasure for me to go to court and fight for the people of Arizona. And this case before the U.S. Supreme Court is an interesting case because it's somebody who committed murder, was sentenced to death, and the death sentence was upheld by the Arizona Supreme Court. And then he went to federal court to file something called habeas corpus, under which the federal court can review the state court action.
Release.
And then he said, well, my mental state has deteriorated, so I cannot help my lawyers. And the Ninth Circuit, in their liberal way, gave an indefinite stay, thereby essentially converting a death sentence into a life imprisonment sentence because the guy says he's not mentally capable of helping his lawyers. The interesting thing is there's law that says that with very few narrow exceptions, habeas corpus is on the record made in state court. So the lawyers don't need his help. All they have to do is read the record.
That would seem pretty logical.
If he wants to help with something on the record, they don't need him because they can read it.
That's right.
And if he wants to help with something outside the record, they can't use it because the habeas corpus is supposed to be on the record made in state court.
Sure.
So
pretty basic stuff that you're talking about here. You know, even if you're not a lawyer, I think it's pretty understandable.
Absolutely.
What is it the Ninth Circuit didn't get about that? I don't know, but
right.
Kind of scary stuff.
As well as a lot of other things.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take a break. It's about quarter after and about a minute. But I want to just ask you before we do in the little time that we have, how do you get – I've asked this before, but how do you get this message out to people about what you're doing? I mean, the papers are unreliable. The media is unreliable. They always have a slant. You have a direct line to people on your website, right, that it touts these things.
Yes, we have something called an Attorney General Alert, and if you want to
– I know. I get them on my email all the time.
Get you on your email. Yeah. If anybody wants to be there, if they'll send me an email, tomhorn with an E, 2824 at gmail.com, we'll add them to our email list, and we send them out a couple of times a week as to what we're doing.
Okay. Well, with that, we're going to take our break. We'll come back talking with Tom Horn, Attorney General of the State of Arizona, after these commercial messages.
Don't touch that dial. Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Hi, my name is Brent Jones, owner of Aloha Buys Gold. Do you need some extra cash? Bring me your old or unwanted gold and silver jewelry and get cash on the spot. I pay the highest rates in the valley, guaranteed. Right now, if I earn your business, you will receive a $20 gift card bonus. AlohaBuysGold.com. Professional, honest, and the best rates. Schedule your appointment to come in and see me today. That's AlohaBuysGold.com.
Sure, starting the workday can be tough, but doing it without the energy you need can be just plain brutal. I know because I've been there. I know firsthand what it's like to go through the day feeling, well, not 100%. My lack of energy affected my ability to focus, whether it be work or fun. I decided that wasn't going to work for me, and I called Nature's Youth and got started on a better me. Don't settle for daily pick-me-up quick fixes. Get all-day energy with help from my friends at Nature's Youth. Nature's Youth, the anti-aging experts, had you in mind when they developed Nature's Youth RSF. It's an all-natural amino acid supplement that supports your body to naturally increase HGH levels without any synthetic hormones. Naturally. You see, elevated HGH levels can contribute to increased energy, improved libido, reduced body fat, and improved exercise capacity. You deserve a better you, and Nature's Youth can help. Call today and try Nature's Youth RSF. Better yet, go on and put it in your speed dial. Trust me. Get started. 800-333-6923. That's 800-333-6923, or visit naturesyouth.com.
Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
try to sleep, they're wide awake, they won't let me alone.
All right, well, we're back. It's Legalese every Wednesday from 4 to 5 leading into Michael Savage. And again, for those of you that are maybe just tuning in, we have Tom Horn, who is the Attorney General and former acting governor for, I guess, a week.
Last week I was the acting governor, and the newspaper asked me what my plans were. So I said I had a three-point program. number one, lower taxes. Number two, cure baldness.
Yeah.
And number three, make all the women beautiful.
I think the woman might have a say in that, making
handsome. She asked me how I was going to – well, that's the curing baldness.
Okay.
And she asked me –
You just lost a bunch of votes, you realize, with a lot of bald men.
She asked me how I was going to do all those things. I said it was a secret plan.
Rogaine. Rogaine in every garage.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I have to laugh because one of my friends who for years touted himself as the Larry David, you know, proud bald man – later wound up wearing, I went to breakfast, he had on this like wig, and I thought,
oh dear.
Yeah. You know, just be proud.
Right.
But anyway.
Like Paul Babiou.
Yes. In fact, he was on the show, was it last week or the week before?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. He came up here, was on the show.
I was pleased to see him win an overwhelming victory on his reelection.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting issue, how basically, you know, he was just destroyed personally and, you know, came back, and as I say on the conventions, it's not, you know, how far down you go, it's if you come back up, right? And he is, and he's not letting it get him down. So I admire him for that. He's actually a pretty good guy.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I guess the sheriff this week was let off the hook, so to speak, from the federal government. One has to wonder about the timing of that announcement after all this time. But, I mean, it's just coincidental, I guess.
Yeah.
It was right before the convention.
Yeah.
But and then I saw yesterday there was some kind of march or something complaining about it. I don't know what good that does. But anyway, let's get back to your responsibilities. You know, I got to tell you, I was talking to a guy who ran for attorney general. I had lunch with him just today. Against Janet Napolitano, Tom McGovern. And one thing he said to me that stuck with me from the lunch is that the attorney general's job, he said, really is probably the best job, maybe the governor's close, but really the best job he thought in the state because, let's face it, if you're in Congress, you're just one of many voices, which you know, having been in the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
Very frustrating, he said, and I think I agree with that. It's really an executive position in charge of so much and so much at your discretion and not subject really to the governor making decisions and being criticized on certain things. I mean, you really have a lot of discretionary power.
Well, last week some people wanted to call me governor and I said I still like general better.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Two-star general or three-star general.
Or four.
What the heck? Yeah. But anyway, so I think you see it that way too, right? You've enjoyed your time there.
Very much, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and in terms of that, let's just go on another minute on that. I'm curious. What do you think has been the best part about that job? I mean, is it what I just said, or is there something else about it that
appeals? Well, I think there's some things that really stick out. I mentioned to you arguing cases, emphasizing certain issues that I said when I ran for office that I would emphasize. One was helping to protect the border.
Yeah.
And we've not only helped to defend Senate Bill 1070, we have participated with other law enforcement agencies in putting a stop to cartels smuggling drugs into Arizona. We dismantled the cartel that had the monopoly on the Tohono O'odham Reservation, which is the reservation straddles both sides of the border.
Right.
They were a subsidiary of the largest cartel in Mexico, and we arrested a whole bunch of people.
So they were actually entrenched into the tribe?
They had a monopoly of the smuggling that went on in that border.
I see.
And we also dismantled another organization that had a monopoly on the 90-mile area from Yuma to Sells, which is a long border. And they had actually imported $2 billion, billion with a B, worth of drugs into this country. We dismantled that organization.
Yeah, we hear all the time, hey, there's no ramifications or repercussions to.
No, we've been dismantling a lot of them.
So it's real.
That part is very real, and I put a priority of that. I put more of my budget into that. And so we've had some very good results. We've had five or six major dismantlings of cartels smuggling drugs into Arizona in that way.
So that's been a priority in your administration.
That's been a priority for me, not only in words, but in dollars, the way I do my budget. Then we've done a lot in consumer protection. we revived sting operations. You may remember we brought a car with a little camera in the hood, and we'd taken the fuse out and put a bad fuse in on electricity going to the compressor.
So bring it to the repair people?
Bring it to the repair people, otherwise a perfect car. And the camera in the hood then recorded them.
You know, I think I saw that.
Taking the hood and taking the fuse out, putting a good fuse in, finding it works properly, taking the good fuse in, putting the bad, taking the good fuse out, putting the bad fuse back in.
Right.
Telling our guy that
he needs a whole overhaul.
He needs a new compressor for $700, and that cost them $40,000.
Right.
And
I think I did see that.
There'd been for many years they hadn't been doing these kind of sting operations because they don't involve a lot of money. Attorneys general like to do big multi-million dollar fraud cases. But I believe that even though these cases don't involve a lot of money, they make all of our lives better.
Oh, absolutely.
Because if word gets out that the next person into your store might be from the attorney general's office, people will hesitate to do these kinds of frauds. And I think that improves everyone's lives. So we've done a lot of those kind of sting operations and consumer actions.
Yeah, and speaking of which, my producer reminded me before we went on the air that I didn't have time to research it, unfortunately, because he just mentioned it to me. But I guess there was some kind of announcement that your office recovered a lot of money on some case he was referring to me recently. Do you know about that?
I've got our press releases with me, so I'd have to find it in order to give you the details on it.
But, I mean, I think your office is recovering monies.
A lot. The last one we recovered.
Pharmaceutical case, was that it? Yeah.
Yeah, we recovered about $2 million on that one.
Yeah, I mean it's
for Arizona.
Yeah, and again, nobody knows about that. Nobody hears about it, so I want to bring it up.
Yeah.
Again, we're talking with Tom Horn, by the way, 277-KFNX. That's 277-5369. If you have a question for our Attorney General, otherwise, as I say, you can listen to our discussion and enjoy it. Now, there was a case about price fixing of e-books. Do you recall that one?
Yes. Yeah. The publishers of books and the people who put out the e-books were combining to have a minimum price, and we combined with other attorney generals nationally to put a stop to that.
My notes show that your office got $69 million settlement.
$69 million nationally.
Yeah.
That was against Hatchett Book Group, HarperCollins, and Simon & Schuster. They're the three largest publishers of ebooks in the country.
Yeah, again, I don't remember seeing much about that, so I'm glad you're recalling it. Yeah. And then there was another case.
Incidentally, the drug case you're talking about, that's with Janssen Pharmaceuticals over improper marketing of antipsychotic drugs. They were marketing them for uses that had not been approved by the Federal Drug Administration, so you don't know if they're safe and effective.
Yeah.
And it was the largest settlement of that kind ever obtained nationally, $181 million. Arizona alone got $6 million.
Yeah, it was a good, interesting case. Let me ask you, you know, I get this question put to me all the time when people come in the office. They always have complaints. I mean, we receive them here at the station, at the office. And everybody says, well, you know, what do I do about this? And I want to go to the Attorney General's office, you know. So tell me, does the Attorney General's office for the benefit of our public actually hear complaints directly?
Yes. We have a form online. You go to our website, azag.gov.
Okay.
And we have forms online where you can file your complaints.
All right. So mostly consumer-type complaints. But if there is even criminal activity that they suspect, they can –
Yeah. We have a criminal fraud section that prosecutes criminal frauds.
Okay. So somebody monitors this website and sends it to the proper –
Every day.
Yeah, and you try to get
back.
You
won't be lost
people.
In the blogosphere.
Yeah, okay, good, very good. Because I know, you know, I didn't quite know what to say to people. I would always say, well, you know, you got to go to the police, and then they work up the case and send it to the Attorney General's office, which is generally my
Well, you, yeah, the police can send it to the Attorney General's office or to the county attorneys, depending on what kind of crime it is and the nature of the jurisdiction and so on.
Right, okay, well, that's helpful. Again, we're talking with Tom Horn, our Attorney General, in studio.
But we also have our own investigators, so they can let us, you know, they go to the police or they could also let us know. And if it's a case that we think is appropriate for us to pursue, we can pursue with our own investigators as well.
Here's a question that relates to that, which has been on my mind for some time. I'm asking as a general question. You take office in 2010. There's a lot of people in that office who probably with the prior administration are not fans of yours, are not Tom Horn people. And are maybe on, again, I don't know the details of it, our public doesn't either,
are probably in some kind of merit selection process where you can't just terminate them when you want.
No, you can.
You can?
Yeah, they're
all
not. Yeah, they're all uncovered. But I didn't.
That's what I was getting to.
Yeah, unlike some of my predecessors. And even though I was the only statewide elected official who walked into an office that had been controlled for 12 years by the opposite political party. So there were a lot of people of the opposite party there. And unlike some of my predecessors who fired large numbers of people coming to office, I fired no one coming into office.
Yeah, I find that interesting. Is there a reason for that? I admire, but...
Well, I just felt that I could win their respect by giving good legal leadership, trying cases myself, managing the office well, giving good leadership in the legal area because their job is legal. It's not political.
Yeah, unfortunately, and I'll say this, not you, but those are hopes, and I'm not sure some of those hopes are realities given the political world we live in. And it concerns me, really, that people, who have an axe to grind, certainly politically.
There are exceptions, but I think by and large I've succeeded, and we have a very good group of people. Of course, it's over 900 people work for me, so there are a lot of them. But I think overall they work very hard and they do a good job.
Yeah, no, I'm sure that's true. It's just that again, a few bad apples, I guess, spoil
right.
a whole bunch, and that's going to happen. But
we've had one bad apple.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Some people have read about that in the paper.
Right, and that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
But I guess that's going to happen, right?
Right.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do about it. Okay, well, again, we're going to take our break for the news. We were talking with Tom Horn, Attorney General of the State of Arizona. If you care to call in to Tom, it's 277-KFNX, 277-5369. If you have any questions of the Attorney General. Otherwise, we'll be back right after this break to talk to Tom Horn for some more about what he's doing in the Office of the Attorney General.
NBC News Radio Special Report, I'm Barbara Cusack. This is the night President Obama is nominated at his party's national convention by former President Bill Clinton. NBC's Kristen Welker.
This is the first time that a former president will play this type of a role, so it's a pretty big deal, a pretty historic moment here that's going to unfold at the Democratic National Convention this evening.
New York Senator Charles Schumer set the stage directing this attack of the GOP presidential candidate.
Mitt Romney confuses his own narrow self-interests and that of people like him with the national interest. He thinks as long as we do right by the Mitt Romneys of the world, America will be just fine.
And there has been a change of venue for President Obama's acceptance speech tomorrow night to the smaller indoor arena as thunderstorms are in the forecast in Charlotte. Republicans speculate the Democrats were worried about filling the larger stadium. I'm Barbara Cusack, NBC News Radio.
Arizona News Radio, Tucson police already have a suspect in custody for robbing a Compass Bank yesterday.
The citizen called 911 to report that they recognized the individual in our surveillance photographs. Our patrol officers went out there and detained that individual.
Mojave County Sheriff's deputies find a man's body in the Salt River. Could be that of 22-year-old Joshua Williams, who disappeared Sunday.
We had dedicated several of our dive teams, to scour the river bottom.
Yavapai County Sheriff's deputies arrest a suspect in connection with burglaries of vehicles parked at trailheads near Sedona.
He'd smash out a window, grab whatever he could, and leave. And he did this ongoing between these two trailheads for several months.
Peoria police arrest three suspected metal thieves who have been stealing catalytic converters.
They picked high-profile vehicles. In this case, it was a Toyota Sequoia, so high clearance. They go underneath the vehicle. They use a saw. They cut both ends of it. It drops down, and off they go with it.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of York Haven X traffic, once again a service of In-N-Out Burger. Look for that collision in Chandler. Westbound Loop 202 at Cooper. Also look for an accident northbound State Route 51 at Northern. We also have a fender bender westbound I-10 at 40th Street. Look for another accident 35th Avenue north of Thunderbird and a fender bender 51st Avenue at Cactus. In-N-Out, where the only way to make burgers, fries, and shakes is with only the freshest, highest quality ingredients. In-N-Out, now that's what a hamburger's all about. Here's your forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Well, our monsoon now in high gear. Scattered showers and thunderstorms just about anywhere, anytime around our southern and central deserts. Right on throughout the weekend and even into next week. With the cloud cover and humidity, daytime highs near 100. Jim Howell, Linda Pettitalk, 1100 KFNX.
Thanks, Jimmy. Currently here in Midtown, we're 99 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm Chet Reynolds. You're up to date.
I love you, son. So it hurts when you say I hate you. I'm your mother. I'm tired of you disrespecting me when you don't get your way. I work hard to make sure you have everything you need. I should be able to ask you to get out of bed in the morning without a fight. So from now on, things are going to be different. I ordered the Total Transformation Program. We're not going to scream and fight anymore. I'm going to tell you what to do in a different way, and you're going to do it. You're not going to call me ugly names anymore, and if you do, you're going to get consequences that'll keep you from calling me ugly names. We're not going to do things your way anymore, son. We're going to do things the Total Transformation way.
Get the Total Transformation free. Just order the program, tell us how it works for you, and you can keep it for free. Call 1-800-241-1419. 1-800-241-1419. Call now. 1-800-241-1419. 1-800-241-1419.
London Gold. It's the best.
Diamonds. A gift of diamond jewelry says, you're special. You're special to me. That's why selecting the perfect diamond is so important. For over 30 years, London Gold has been privileged to be a part of these special events. The experience of selecting your diamond is special to us. We understand how important this transaction is to you. Our staff of designers and craftsmen will help you select the diamond and create a distinctive and impressive piece of jewelry that will fit your budget. Our prices will impress you. Visit our website and see for yourself. London Gold Sparkles, with three valley locations, Arrowhead, Chandler, and Scottsdale. Or visit us online at londongold.com.
London Gold, it's the best.
And this is Dennis Wolinchek, and we're here, Jack Wolinchek and I, with Tom Horn, Attorney General of the State of Arizona, that we're pleased to have on the show this week. And we'll probably be replaying the show again in the future for those of you that want to tell others. We'll announce it during the week probably. But, Tom, we've been talking about some of the cases that your office has won, and I know you came here with some announcements. Why don't you give our audience just for a few minutes a little bit of a background? Because, again, nobody hears this stuff about some of the cases that your office has been involved in beyond what we've talked about. I know I get all these announcements all the time, but most people don't.
One that we've filed recently that I think people are very interested in is medical marijuana.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
And I apologize to any potheads in your audience, but
federal, not that we have any.
federal law prohibits the growing and sale of marijuana.
Yeah.
Also the possession, but especially growing and sale.
Right.
Now the initiative that was passed authorized the growing and sale of marijuana. In certain circumstances by dispensaries and so on. So I got asked by 13 –
which is – just for our audience, which is obviously
– contrary to the federal
contrary.
Law. So I got asked by 13 out of 15 county attorneys to do a ruling on whether the state law was preempted by federal law. Preemption means the state law contradicts federal law, and when that happens, federal law prevails under Article 6 of the United States Constitution, so-called supremacy clause.
Yeah.
That says that federal law prevails over state law.
The federal government hasn't been shy about trying to enforce that.
Right. And I've defended some of those cases saying there is no contradiction, like was said in Bill 1070. But if there is a contradiction, there's no dispute. Article 6 of the U.S. Constitution says federal law prevails not only over state law, but over the state constitution. And that would include laws passed by the legislature or by the voters. So I had to answer that question.
Yeah.
And the county attorneys obviously felt that the state law was preempted by federal law. And so our lawyers researched it, and they found two controlling recent cases, one from Oregon, one from California, that said that the state cannot authorize what the federal government prohibits.
Okay.
Now, with the cards, I said those were okay because the state does have the right to decriminalize something under its own law.
OK. Okay.
And the cards could tell a police officer who might arrest someone for possession of a small amount of marijuana that this card says that that's been decriminalized under state law for me.
But what about federal law?
Well, no. Under federal law, it still would be illegal. But if a law enforcement official was proceeding under state law, the card could be used to say, you know, under state law, this is no longer a crime for me because I've been approved to have a card.
Let's be clear on that because, you know, just slow down for a second because it's an important point.
Yeah.
So for our audience, again, partly, so a state law enforcement official, again, is not there to enforce federal law. The feds have been pretty clear on that in this immigration issue. So, again, some of these things tend to go against each other. But so a state law enforcement agent is not going to stop someone for possession of marijuana under federal law.
Under federal law, they do it under state law.
And there are very few federal agents running around in the state. Okay, so we're clear on that.
So they seek to arrest you for possession of a small amount of marijuana. And if you have the card saying you've been approved for medical marijuana, you can show the card, and that's a valid identification under the state law that has decriminalized it as to certain people that are approved.
Okay, got it.
So that's okay. But what the state cannot do is use the word, and the special word is authorize. The state cannot authorize you to violate federal law. And there are provisions in our statute that says that you are authorized to grow. For example, if you are if you have a card and you're not close to a dispensary, or if you're a dispenser himself, you're authorized to grow, and under the dispensaries, you're authorized to sell.
Which is a real distinction.
Which is the distinction. And the distinction is the word authorized. So those parts of the statute use the word authorized. They say these dispensaries, for example, are authorized to sell marijuana.
I see the point.
And under the two cases, the one from Oregon and the one from California, that is not permissible. So that is preempted under federal law.
There's some authority for that elsewhere.
Yes, the two most recent cases, one from California, one from Oregon.
Okay.
So, you know, so for those potheads in your listening audience, don't kill
them.
Hopefully
they're not driving in their car.
Yeah, right. Well, they're allowed to, actually.
that's scary.
Yeah, right. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just reporting what the case law holds.
Yeah.
But I did bring an action seeking to see if a judge will agree with me. If the judge agrees with me, that would put a stop to the program. If he disagrees with me –
So that was brought in state court.
In state court.
Just recently.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if he disagrees with me, then I want it to proceed quickly because I don't want to hold up the program. I don't want to delay anything. So we're asking the judge to rule on that quickly.
Okay. And I'm just hearing that. I think I saw that in the paper. But that case could not be brought in federal court for some reason? No federal jurisdiction?
Well, we brought it in a case where an action had been brought by somebody who wants to run a dispensary.
I see.
And it would be in Sun City, so it would be under the county rather than the city.
I see.
And the county is refusing to give the necessary zoning.
So you had a factual situation.
So we had a case before the court, right?
Yeah.
Right. We're just bringing it. Theoretically, we're seeking summary judgment in this case where the guy is asking the court to order the county to give him the zoning, ordering the state to give him the dispensary license. We're coming in and saying our defense is that the state law is preempted.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, it would seem logical to me that you should prevail on that one too. Now, who's on the other side of this? So let's talk about that. Is it the people representing the
dispensary?
Dispensaries.
Right.
So are they all banding together? Is that what's going on?
I don't know yet. Yeah. We'll see whether others intervene. But we do have a dispensary on the other side of the case.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's a lot of money in that whole business, so you'd get people with a real interest in
it. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of money.
Yeah. But, I mean, let's go back to your comment. That actually disturbed me more than anything, that people can be smoking marijuana in their cars.
Unless you can show that they're impaired.
So
the mere fact they have marijuana in their – if they have a card for medical marijuana, the mere fact that there's marijuana in their bloodstream cannot be used against them.
Unless, no matter where they are.
Yeah, they can be driving a car. But
that doesn't sound right. But
if you can show that they were impaired, then you can proceed.
I see. Yeah, I got your point, which is really the issue.
So there seems to be an assumption you can smoke marijuana and not be impaired, which I would question that assumption. But that's the assumption of the law.
Well, that's a good way to explain it. I appreciate that. All right. So that's one case that's pending now. I remember reading about that. Then let's talk about some of these lawsuits relating to mortgage fraud, home modification scams.
Yeah, we have a lot of those.
Yeah,
and one of the things your listeners need to be aware of is that nobody is permitted to charge an advance fee to renegotiate your mortgage. And there's a lot of fraud like that where they say, "Give us $1,200 and we'll save your house for you," and they get the $1,200. They don't do anything. You know, right. They give you a website, and you have to do it yourself, and they don't have any real knowledge, and they don't have any success. That's prohibited under both federal and state law passed recently, that you cannot charge an upfront fee. If you get the modification, then you can charge a fee for the modification you got, but you can't charge an upfront fee. So if someone calls you and says they can save your mortgage, you know, the tragedy is this is fraud perpetrated on the people who can least afford it.
Yeah,
people
right,
are about to lose their houses. So somebody
the most desperate, which is how people prey on people.
Exactly. Yeah. So if people say that give them money up front and they'll do something, you know, call our office because that is a fraud.
Okay. And then beyond just that, I think your office has actually had some big cases relating to beyond just that, you know, money up front thing.
Mm-hmm.
You've actually had some cases involving other kinds of mortgage fraud as well, haven't you?
Yeah, we've run a number of cases and closed companies down that we found to be engaging in mortgage fraud. We just filed a lawsuit against something called Making All Homes Affordable and La Paz Source. And we alleged they had violated the Consumer Fraud Act by misrepresenting the nature and value of their program. And interesting here is that they aimed their fraud at Hispanic consumers. Mm. They would advertise on Spanish language media and would focus just on Spanish language people who they thought were more vulnerable to their fraud. And they would charge $1,900 and it would be no more than a do-it-yourself program, allowing them access to various standardized forms and information's on this company's website, and we've closed them down.
Yeah, that's good. Well, we only have a short time before we have to take our news break here in a couple of seconds, but we're talking with Tom Horn, Arizona Attorney General since 2010. When we come back, Tom, in our last segment, I want to talk to you about you, your life experiences, your philosophy, and who you really are, as opposed to what your office has done, which we've talked about throughout the show. So this is Dennis Willinchek and Jack Willinchek, and we'll be back after these commercial messages. This is Legalese on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Primus in the Morning, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Hi, my name is Denver Noas with EquityForProfit.com. If you're like most Americans, the IRS is going to get at least 20 to 30% of your retirement income, maybe more. Your IRA, your 401k, your SEP, deferred comp are all 100% taxable as income when you take it out. And with taxes only going up, most people pay more in taxes than they ever earned on their investments. If all you're doing is saving into taxable accounts, it's time to learn how to build tax-free wealth and take advantage of a massive IRS-approved tax shelter most people never use. Go to EquityForProfit.com and stop paying so much in taxes.
Hines Benefits Consulting is an Arizona-based firm that customizes benefits solutions for you and your business. They'll help your organization improve financial performance and increase employee satisfaction. Why work with Hines Benefits? Experience, strategy, market knowledge, and world-class customer service. Call Cindy or Bernie Hines at 602-952-0370. Hines Benefits Consulting, where better information leads to better decisions. Call today, 602-952-0370.
Great reading. It really helped.
Grandmaster Jennifer Gerhardt loves helping people. Find her at the only Egyptian booth at the fantastic Indoor Swaps Mart. Her booth is linked to super spiritual interdimensional energies connected to the ancient wisdom of Egypt. Her readings bring truth and energetic forces together to help shift consciousness with people, love, finances, emotions, everyday issues. Many have awakened to realize there's more to learn about creating the life you consciously desire. That's why Jennifer founded the Esoteric School of Inner Mastery, where the mystery of ancient secrets are finally revealed. Find out more when you get a reading.
Life is really changing.
One reading can change your life. $20 for 15 minutes, $25 for 20. Her readings bring truth and energetic forces together to help shift consciousness. Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays at the fantastic Indoor Swaps Mart, 27th Avenue in Camelback.
Solutions from Ancient Wisdom. Mastery of the Mind, Saturdays at 9 p.m.
Independent Talk,
1100 KFNX.
I was gambling in Havana.
I can assure you I was not gambling in Havana, and also I can assure you that Tom Horn was not there either, so not much I can honestly say here. Again, we're talking with Tom Horn, Attorney General of the State of Arizona. Always pleased to have you, Tom, on the show. It's really great talking to you.
Pleasure to be here with you, Dennis.
Yeah, and it's really a pleasure to have you as our Attorney General. It's a breath of fresh air, I got to say. You're open to the public. You're not ashamed or shy of speaking to the public, and really, that's what it's all about, is letting people know the good work that you do. And speaking of which, I said I want to spend the next segment talking about you, not talking about your office, not talking about all the great things you've done. But really talking about why you got into this, why you do what you do. And I know you're a sincere guy because I've talked to you about this privately as to your motives. And I always find that refreshing and fascinating because – and let me just say this before you answer, because we watch these conventions. We listen to all these canned speeches. Everybody's trying to outdo each other on how they were hardscrabble environments that, you know, they overcame. And they're probably all true. But at some point, people sort of tune out to that. But – I do think that, as I said to you off the air, that one thing that stuck with me in the Michelle Obama speech was, you know, don't slam the door shut on people behind you. And I know you're a guy that believes in that kind of philosophy. So tell our audience who you are. Who is Tom Horn?
Well, you know, some people grow up with – everybody grows up with dreams, and some people grow up with the dream of someday I'll make lots of money and have a big house and a nice car and so on. That was never my dream. My dream was always – to be involved with public service.
I've seen your car, by the way, in that mirror falling off of it.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You're not Barack Obama. I didn't see any rust on the bottom with a hole in it.
Right,
you know, but
right.
Close.
But that wasn't. Yeah, my car's pretty old. my dream always was to be involved in public service, and if I could do something to make life better for other people, that would be fulfilling for me. And
where'd you get that from? I mean, where'd you get that philosophy?
Probably, I imagine things I read when I was young, but.
Did your parents encourage that?
No, they didn't. My parents were immigrants. I'm actually, I'm actually foreign born myself. I was born in Canada, and I was brought here when I was four. But my parents were refugees from Poland, Jewish people in Poland, who my father predicted the German invasion of Poland, and he brought his family over. He told his friends and relatives to leave. Nobody wanted to do that because people don't like to leave their culture. And they were all killed in the Holocaust. Even my mother didn't want to leave, but in those days, husbands had more authority over their wives than they do now, and he forced her to leave.
Interesting, that's the same route my family took to Canada through from Poland.
Canada first, and then the United States.
Russia, Poland.
And so when I speak to naturalization ceremonies, I tell them I'm also a naturalized citizen, so I expect all of them to become statewide elected officials as well. But that's one of
did you first have that thought, though?
The thought?
Of going into
Public service?
Yeah.
Probably about sixth grade or so.
Really?
Yeah. Basically, I think just from things I'd read. And my experience is, you know, I was in private practice of law for 30 years. I had to put four kids through college.
Yeah.
But I did.
But it always stuck with you that you wanted to do that.
Yeah. I served on the school board for 24 years, which I could do while I was practicing law. And I always felt that to achieve something in public service brings satisfaction that no amount of money can bring.
Mm-hmm.
And I've now served in all branches of government. I served in the legislature. I served as a judge pro tem, as you noted earlier, in the judiciary, and, of course, superintendent of schools and attorney general in the administrative branch. And then in local government, 24 years on a school board. So I've served in all four branches, effectively, of government, and I found that to be very satisfying.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I think you got well known for as school superintendent was that fiasco down in Tucson, right?
Right, ethnic studies.
We put
a stop to that.
And I want to talk about this for just a minute before we come back to your life, because this really exemplifies in many ways a lot of things in your life. What was it about that – because the people, of course, painted you in all kinds of forms, as they typically do on the left, as some kind of Attila the Hun. What was going on in your mind? Explain that to our audience.
In Tucson, what they were doing is they were dividing kids by race in this so-called ethnic studies program.
Yeah.
So they had what they called Raza studies for the Latino kids. Raza means the race in Spanish. African-American studies for the African-American kids. Indian studies for the Native kids. Asian studies for the Asian kids. And they would divide them what ethnicity you were sent to a certain classroom. So it was just like the old South where they divided people up by race. And I believe it's a fundamental American value that we're all individuals, that what matters is what we know, what we can do, what is our character.
So these aren't courses that were offered to essentially to everyone of all ethnicities as part of their studies. They were actually divided up and sent by their race to different classes.
Yeah, they were offered, but predominantly they were populated by kids of that particular ethnicity. And I believe that one of the functions of the public schools have been to bring kids together from different backgrounds and teach them to treat each other as individuals. And in Tucson, they were doing just the opposite.
Yeah.
And then in this Raza study,
it seems to me obvious that if you're really interested in expanding cultural diversity, you would basically have a class where you offered people information about all these different backgrounds, right?
And I was at the time superintendent of schools, and we were requiring that in our world history and American history.
Right.
We had performance objectives that required that people would be taught about the contributions of all different groups.
That's a different story.
Which is different than separating somebody out and teaching him only about the contribution of his own group, because school is a place to raise people's horizons, not to narrow
and
them.
And then just as my recollection serves me, because I was actually down there arguing a case when I remember you and talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the problems there was they were actually using these classes and essentially indoctrinate these students with kind of radical ideas,
Yes, particularly in Raza studies, they had a group of very radical teachers who taught the kids that the United States was dominated by a white, male, racist, imperialist power structure that wanted to oppress Latinos. And their textbook was called The Pedagogy of the Oppressed by Paulo Freire, who's a well-known Brazilian Marxist. And I believe these kids' parents and grandparents came to this country, most of them legally, because this is the land of opportunity.
Right.
And they entrust their kids to our schools, and we need to teach these kids this is the land of opportunity, and if you work hard, you can achieve your dreams, and not teach them that they're oppressed.
Yeah.
And so I wrote a bill to give the superintendent of schools.
It took a lot of guts to do that, by the way. There's a lot of people that were really after you.
Yes, but I'm not intimidated by them.
Right.
And so I wrote a bill which the legislature passed to give the superintendent the power to put a stop to this. But when the bill was before the Senate Judiciary Committee, Tucson sent up the kids saying how much they loved their ethnic studies class. And so one of the senators said, well, couldn't you learn these things in other courses? And this girl says, no, before I took the course, I didn't realize that I was oppressed. Now that I took the course, I realize I'm oppressed.
Anyway, case closed.
Yeah, right. So the bill passed. It took effect midnight, which was a Friday night, on December 31st, 2010. I was scheduled to be sworn in on Monday, January 3rd in the afternoon. So on Monday morning, I held a lame duck session with myself, and I declared them to be out of compliance, which meant they could lose 10% of their budget. The new superintendent, after a while, confirmed that after doing his own study. And the case,
so he has essentially upheld what you did.
Yes, and they appealed. It went to a hearing, objective hearing officer. The hearing officer ruled our way. And faced with a loss of 10% of their budget, they voted 4-1 to stop the program. Now, there are two federal cases that are pending that I'm defending now as Attorney General. One of them saying my statute is unconstitutional because it's unconstitutional to think people should be treated as individuals rather than on the basis of race. And the other one having to do with the desegregation orders that they've had down there. So I'm continuing to fight, but as of now, the program has been stopped, so that I would like to see the Tucson Unified School District, like the other school districts in our state, teach kids to treat each other as individuals and not on the basis of what race they were born in, and teach them to be patriotic Americans.
Yeah, that's good stuff. I love hearing that kind of thing. And you took a stand on it, and you fought for it, and everybody has to understand.
And if you go on my website, you can see the mob surrounding me screaming at me.
No, as I said, when we were coming out of court, there was a mob surrounding you, and I remember this.
Right, azag.gov, and you can click Ethnic Studies on the front page, and you can see their films of the mobs screaming at me so I can't do an interview and following me to my car. And ironically, I was doing the interview in Spanish.
They broke off that mirror.
Yeah, right.
Right.
That was a Spanish language station interviewing me, and I do interviews in Spanish.
Yeah.
Do you speak
Spanish?
Enough to do my interviews on Univision and Telemundo and Spanish.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, again, we just have a few minutes left, but again, going back to who you are, just tell us a little bit about your hobbies, your family. As much detail as you can spare. We have about 2 minutes.
Pretty serious piano player.
I know that.
I've played with the Yuma Symphony and the Scottsdale Symphony, and there's a new symphony called the Scottsdale Philharmonic. I'm going to be doing Rhapsody in Blue as a piano soloist with them.
One of my favorite
In October. And I have a chamber music group that meets at my house Sunday nights, and we've done lots of concerts. So I do quite a bit of concertizing, and I think I'm the only politician in Arizona who provides his own entertainment at his fundraisers.
That's right. But I mean, beyond that, what else do you like to do other than playing the piano?
And we like to. Our families are big water skiers. There are 10 lakes in Arizona where you can water ski, and my kids have skied on 9 of the 10.
How many kids do you have?
I have 4 kids.
Are they all out of the house now? Or?
Yeah, I have my oldest daughter is a surgeon at Banner Baywood.
Wow, congratulations.
Second daughter is in education. My oldest son is in computers, and my youngest son is a lawyer. So I've covered all the professions, doctor, lawyer, teacher, engineer.
Now, is he working at your office? Or?
No, because I'm attorney general, so I can't do
you
that.
Can't
that
hire
would be nepotism.
Okay. Well, listen, Tom, it's great, as always, to see you in studio, even better. We appreciate Tom Horn coming on the air with us, and it's fascinating to listen to you about your life and about some of the wonderful things your office is doing. So we're going to have you back again as soon as you can do it.
Love to come
and
back.
And I know you're busy. You're arguing a lot of things. So Tom Horn, Attorney General on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX on Legalese. This is Dennis Willinchek and Jack Willinchek. We will be with you next week, Wednesday from 4 to 5, and you will be listening to Michael Savage shortly after the news. Take care.
Hi, Matt Allen here for Virginia Auto Service. Just like you, I juggle work and family and all the other activities that fill our lives every day. We understand that servicing or repairing your car should not be an inconvenient, nerve-wracking experience. So whether you work downtown or live in North Central Phoenix, let Virginia Auto Service take the hassle out of auto repair. We'll take care of your car so you can get on with your day. Find out more or grab a coupon at virginiaautoservice.com.
I returned from combat duty in a wheelchair, but it turns out many apartment buildings can't accommodate me. I fought for freedom and thought I'd be free to choose where I live.
After the phone interview, we assumed the apartment was ours.
But when we showed up, the manager said no longer available.
The only way to stop housing discrimination is to report it. Visit hud.gov/fairhousing or call 1-800-669-9777. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX, Cape Creek, Phoenix, the home of Laura Ingraham, weekdays 6 to 9 a.m.